coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest. Yeah, I agree.
I am Pastor Floyd from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark with Metaround Community Church in Ohio Powell.
And tis the season, so we're going to, you know, talk about Christmas and respond to, I guess there's no other way to put it, the people who say that Christians shouldn't celebrate Christmas, and just really talk about all the reasons why we as Christians should. But before we get to that, Mark, what are you preaching on?
I am preaching the third Sunday of Advent, which is joy. I'll be talking about joy this week. I've been going through the miracle of Christmas, and we talked about the miracle of hope, the miracle of peace, and this week we're going to talk about the miracle of joy.
Okay, and I actually normally do bring up Advent and talk about Advent, but did not talk about Advent season at all. But we are walking through the book of Luke, the entire book of Luke, and it worked out great that we're starting talking about, last week we talked about the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus being foretold. This week we're talking about the birth of John the Baptist, and then next week talking about the birth of Christ right before Christmas. So it works out good. So speaking of Christmas, there's that question. It comes up every year. I always see it. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? Because the Bible doesn't tell us to. So I think we've done a number of podcasts on this, but just like I think you said one time, every year, pastors don't have to come up with something new at Christmas time. They just have to tell the Christmas story at Christmas time. So every year when this comes up, we don't have to come up with new stuff. It's usually the same reasons, but should Christians celebrate Christmas?
Absolutely, 100% yes. That's my short answer, is that we should. And I do feel like we talk about this every year at Christmas time because it is the subject that comes up every year. You know, people say, well, it's a pagan holiday. You know, we shouldn't celebrate it because it's a pagan holiday. The Christmas tree is a pagan symbol. And the thing that I tell people is that, you know, they're really not. If you go back, we don't celebrate the Christmas tree. We don't celebrate the presents, or we shouldn't as believers. We are celebrating the reason for Christmas, and that is the birth of Christ.
Yeah, so I hear a lot of people, and I especially now see a lot of videos being made all over social media platforms where people talk about the Christmas tree, and they use the Jeremiah verse talking about, and I didn't read it right beforehand, I should have, but it's a verse where God is condemning the nation of Israel for cutting down trees, covering them, and he says gold and silver, and worshiping them. So is that, I mean, I know the answer to this, but for those who are new to this and they're just hearing this, is that talking about a Christmas tree?
No, I don't believe so. There they were talking about, if my memory serves me right, they were worshiping Mother Nature, the God of, not the God of creation that we know of, the God of creation, but what they had perceived to be the God of creation. And they were decorating trees, cutting them down, decorating them in silver and gold as their idol or their worship of the trees and of the earth.
Yeah, and if I recall, and I probably should have looked the verse up, I apologize.
Yeah,
But yeah, they were cutting them down, and I think the verse has specific language, because I've made videos about this before, that says that they carved them into idols.
Right.
No one's carving Christmas trees into Christmas trees. And there was verbiage, and again, I don't remember specific verbiage, but God said, this is what you are doing. He didn't say, this is what you're going to do, you know, in 2,000 years. He says, I'm condemning you now because this is what you're doing. And there is no record in all of Jewish history of them bringing trees into their house and worshiping them. Right. There is record of them, like you said, they would cut down the trees, carve them into idols, and then worship them as the gods of, you know, nature and fertility.
Yeah,
as other gods and all that stuff. But there is no record of them doing that. So, and then someone else had put it really eloquently, God created trees. We're not worshiping trees. There's no problem with decorating a tree anymore. There is a problem with bringing a plant into your home that you grow just because it looks pretty.
And there is a, I mean, I was at physical therapy when you said, what should we talk about? And I, when I got home, I should have looked this up, but the history of the Christmas tree is a fascinating story, because the reason we use pine trees is because it's a symbol of everlasting life. Pine trees live almost forever, it seems like. And there's something about the tree itself is a representation. And I forget who brought this in first, but it was the everlasting life, and then the lights on the tree, they used candles then, was the light that shines in the dark world. So it's a picture of Jesus Christ giving us everlasting life.
Yeah, I don't think that people who condemn this do any research or look up anything. They just, right. I hear all the time, I was told, and we say this also all the time. I feel like we say this almost every other podcast. Usually the people saying that were told that in a church setting.
Exactly. There's
some pastor somewhere, so again, I blame the pulpit, who went out and condemned people for getting Christmas trees and referred to the Jeremiah passage. And I've even heard people say, it looks like a tree to me. I was like, no, read it. Read it for yourself, and you'll see it's talking about carving idols and worshiping that. No one is bringing trees into their house to bow down and worship them.
Right.
At all. So it's really just a misuse. But the other argument people use is the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas, so we shouldn't. We're creating a holiday, and so we're kind of turning it into an idol. What are your thoughts on that?
And I've heard that argument several times, and kind of gets my blood boiling a little bit, because I think about, what are we celebrating at Christmas? If you read the story in Luke as you're going through it, the shepherds were told to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to go and celebrate his birth. And it doesn't say just celebrate it. It says the good news has come to bring great joy. So we are to be joyful in our celebration. So if we pick one time of the year, I mean, the other argument we get is that Jesus wasn't born in December, which is probably true. He probably wasn't. But we celebrate the birth of Christ because it is the birth of joy. It is the birth that brings peace to the earth. It is the birth that caused, you know, love to come into the world like we've never seen before. So we celebrate all of those things, and we celebrate them at Christmas time. That's what that season's for. Now, should we be celebrating all that all the time? Absolutely. But at least we're focusing on it during Christmas.
I agree. And the people that say the Bible doesn't tell us to, and I use this shameless plug here in the book that you and I and two other people collaborated on called Unwrapping Christ at Christmas, mm-hmm. where we talk about all this. It's available at Amazon. Get it for a gift for someone who you think would love to know more about how Christianity, Christmas, and all that stuff. And it's called Unwrapping Christ at Christmas, Refreshing Your Reason to Rejoice. And one of the things that I brought up in that book is that because they say we shouldn't celebrate it, God doesn't sell us to. He gives us certain days to celebrate. We should not create our own. And I bring up that there's a whole book of the Bible, the book of Esther, dedicated to and just talking about, I know people say it's all about Esther, but at the end it says all of these things were written so that, and it explains that they were celebrating that their lives were saved. They created a whole holiday called Purim based on celebrating that their lives were saved. God didn't tell them to do it. They mandated it. They created it themselves because they were so joyful, like you said, so full of joy that our lives have been spared. We have been saved from certain death. So we have to celebrate this every year to remember this.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we as Christians celebrate every year to remember, like you said, we have been saved. Joy has been, you know, this is supposed to be the most joyous occasion in humanity. Salvation has come to not just the nation of Israel or one people group, but all mankind. So why wouldn't we celebrate it? And they celebrated it with food and fellowship and sending gifts to one another.
Yeah.
Just like Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine. I had some friends growing up that were Jehovah's Witness, and they do not celebrate Christmas, birthdays, really any holidays. And they say because it takes away from the kingdom of God. And to me, if we approach this at the right, with the right attitude and the right way, this is how we do celebrate one another, how we celebrate Christ loving us so that we can love one another.
Yeah, and I think, like you were saying, the Bible, although it doesn't tell us to celebrate this, and they don't celebrate birthdays, we also celebrate things that the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate. Yeah. Wedding anniversaries, our birthdays, people, as you get older, it's more about
celebrating. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us. So we do celebrate things on a little human level. And there are things that are worth celebrating, but then why wouldn't we celebrate, you know, something on a Jesus level, the birth of Jesus Christ? And like you brought up, you know, the shepherds rejoiced and the angels rejoiced at his birth. Why wouldn't we rejoice? But well, you did bring up something because you said, you know, they say it takes away from, you know, the focus on God. Do you think that giving gifts are okay? Do they take away from the focus?
In principle, I think they are okay. I think we have allowed them to take away from the focus of what is important during Christmas. We have commercialized Christmas to the point of it's more of a burden now than it is a joy, because we get, we're in a frenzy of going Black Friday shopping, going shopping every, fighting the crowds, going on Amazon and spending hundreds of dollars that we don't have just for one day, and it's over in an hour, or not even an hour. In most cases.
And we miss the point of the importance of that one day.
Exactly.
the birth of Christ, that something that's given to us for all eternity.
Yeah. So I think, you know, simpler times, simpler days back in the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, it was a lot simpler. We didn't have all of this commercialism. It was there. I mean, you know, but it was more focused on families getting together, friends getting together, sharing with one another. Yeah, maybe you make a gift for somebody instead of buying the gift for somebody. And it was just a much simpler time. Today, kids have lists that are, you know, 6 pages long, and they expect everything on that list to be fulfilled. And the first thing on a list of any kind that we make should be, my relationship with Jesus should be better. And that should be the first gift, is our gift to Him, not our gift to each other.
And I've seen this story where some people, a lot of families are doing this, instead of giving gifts to each other, they take time and say, we're going to pull our resources and give gifts to others, give gifts to communities in need and stuff. When we finish here, I'm actually going out because I have to buy a gift for an angel tree, you know, for a family gift. But let me ask you this. Putting everything we just set aside, I know this is going to sound hypocritical, but it's not a real question. I'm just making this up. So what would be your ideal gift? If money were no object, and, like, you know, people used to say you had money like Rockefeller, but a lot of people don't know who Rockefeller is, but you had money like Elon Musk. Everyone knows who he is, even like him or hate him. What would be the ideal gift?
For me?
Yeah, that you would want.
And see, I've had this question asked to me recently, actually. And my answer is simple. I just want those around me that I love to be healthy and safe. That is the ultimate gift. I don't care about materialistic things. I guess if I really had to, if I had all the money in the world and could do it, I wouldn't mind having a classic GTO to go out. I mean, with the nice rims and the nice everything. That wouldn't be bad. But, you know, that's materialistic. But I'm a simple guy. I don't really... Or the other thing would be a nice farm. I wouldn't mind having a nice piece of land that I could have some horses and cows and things like that.
Okay, all right.
How about you?
I would actually want, and this is kind of materialistic, like 2 weeks at some kind of either resort or on a cruise with all of my family, all of Christie's family, all of my family, all of our extended family, all together for like 2 weeks just to hang out, where none of us are working or trying to get back, and where everyone can stay the whole time, because usually whenever we get together, someone's there for a day and a half and other people come in later, and then some people can't stay, and then some people are there, and like me, usually when we're on vacation, I'm working some of the days, so they go out and do stuff, and I'm like, okay, I got to finish getting the sermon ready for when we go back. And so just 2 weeks where we're just all together. And I guess that is a little materialistic, but it's also the family aspect of it.
Yeah, it's still good. It still has the same principle, you know. Yeah.
Not going to lie, though, because if we're doing materialistic, I would want a Tesla. So I'm just being honest. I mean, if money were no object, yeah. But let me ask you this, because there are a lot of people struggling over the holidays. Some are struggling financially. I mean this with every fiber of empathy I can. I feel for those people who are struggling financially. But there is no reason why anyone should go without being able to provide for their children during the holidays because there are so many programs that will help them do it. Mm-hmm. And I said this about Thanksgiving, and I'll say it about Christmas too. No one should go or be concerned about going without food because there are so many places that are giving away food, not just food banks, other organizations that are like, here, we're giving away turkeys, we're giving away meals, we're giving away gift cards so you can go buy the meal. No one should go without.
Right.
So I know there are people that are, and I said this before from the pulpit, and I'll say it again, if you're someone who's struggling to make ends meet and you're trying to put things together with Christmas, contact your local church. And I'm not saying the church is able to do it, but most churches are in touch with people who can provide if they can't. Provide you towards a source that will help you meet needs during the holidays. But other people are struggling with like anxiety or depression because, you know, of loved ones or whatever. And I know that's something that you have talked about over the years and in the book. Unwrapping Christ at Christmas, in your portion, you talk a great deal about your personal journey and all that stuff. And I actually even, I think it was this past weekend, was talking about the fact that you, although, you know, it is a hard time for you during the holidays, that you still point people to Jesus Christ and the joy they can get from him. So what would you say to those people who are struggling with either anxiety or because they, they've lost loved ones and this is a hard time of year for them?
And I'm going to actually be talking about that this Sunday, you know, with our joy. It all comes down to what Jesus brings to us at Christmas. I mean, especially at his birth. Let's put the phrase Christmas out of it. What Jesus brought to us at his birth was joy. He brought us the ability to have joy. Joy is looking past your circumstances and seeing who is in control of it all. If you don't have joy in Christ, you're not going to have joy or happiness in any circumstance, true joy or happiness. And so my suggestion, and I do this myself, is, as you said, this is not, it hasn't been my favorite time of the year for many years. And it seems like everything's happened in November and December in my life that was tragic. But when you stop and you realize the joy that comes from knowing Jesus, he's the one that we are celebrating. Things happen, bad things happen. Just had a family that lost a loved one, and they're not going to be there. I think of the National Guard, the girl that was killed in D.C. a day before Thanksgiving. It's going to be Christmas without her. So these are things that do get us down. But there's also memories of things that happened while they were alive that brings a smile to your face. You know, part of the thing, and I've had people say what I'm about to say, I have people say, well, that's your life, that's not my life. I remember the things that were happy during Christmas. You know, mom in the kitchen making breakfast for everybody before everybody came down and already had the turkey and ham in the oven and you could smell the food cooking while we're opening presents. That's all stuff that's good. And you can remember that. And you know, I have people that said, well, I wasn't raised that way. We didn't have all of that, you know. And to that I say, let go of the past then. Create some new traditions, some new things that are going to bring you not just happiness, but the good news of great joy. Not just, you know, that's what the angel said to the shepherds. This is good news of great joy, not okay joy, not mediocre joy, but of great joy. And that is the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I actually like that concept of creating some new memories. And it's not to say forget.
No.
And that you're like ignoring or disavowing knowledge of the past pain and you know, your loved ones or whatever. But it's just creating new memories with your loved ones. And like you said, walking in that joy despite your circumstances that you're dealing with.
Let me ask you this too, or make this statement. A lot of the things that happen during Christmas is loneliness. There's a lot of people that don't have family. They may be the last one in their family. Even then, you can still reach out and say, I can still have joy. Because joy isn't based on circumstances, it's based on a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And I would say to us who are fortunate enough to have family and friends around, if we know someone that doesn't have anyone this time of the year, especially this time of the year, reach out to them. Invite them to your house for Christmas if you can. Or stop by, say, hey, I'm going to stop by and just spend 5-10 minutes with you. Is that okay? But reach out to them. Let them know that they're not unworthy. They're not forgotten about.
Yeah, so I love that. That's a great idea. And I think we forget that some people are alone because we're so caught up and we want to do our family thing and our family traditions. And one of the new memories you could make is inviting, like you said, other people to be a part of your new family tradition. So as we wind down, let me ask you this. Are you guys doing a Christmas Eve service? What time are you doing it? And kind of like, what's the focus? What are you guys doing for Christmas Eve?
Yes, we are doing a Christmas Eve service. It starts at 5:00. The theme is the birth of Christ. We will light the Christ candle. We will sing a lot of Christmas carols, and we will read the Christmas story. And I will talk, I started this series of The Miracle of Christmas with a sermon called The Miracle of Christmas. And I'm ending Christmas Eve with a devotional of the real miracle of Christmas, the birth of the Savior. And we'll have a couple special people singing. I'm going to probably try to do Jesus, Did You Know? Or Mary, Did You Know? At the beginning of the service. So there's going to be a lot of singing, a lot of carols, a lot of reading. But we basically read straight through the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 12 or 11, whatever it goes to. And we read it, read a couple verses, sing a couple carols, go back to a couple verses. And then at the end, I'll do a 10-15 minute devotional on the miracle of Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. Ours is at, I forget now, 6:37 PM. I will admit, all of the stuff that pastors have to do at Christmas brings me a lot of anxiety. So in the past, I mean, it is, it's become so, like you said, with, you know, the families that make it all about getting stuff and doing stuff. And, it sometimes it ends up that way for me and it brings nothing but anxiety. So there have been years where, okay, we're just not doing a Christmas Eve service. And then other years where, yeah, let's make it happen. I feel like this year we kind of need to make it happen and maybe falling off the ladder knock some sense into me because I'm not feeling as much anxiety about it. I'm just like, okay, whatever happens, happens. And we're same thing. We're just going to read some verses, sing some Christmas carols, tell the Christmas story. I'm going to focus on the joy, like we've been talking about, that we are supposed to not just have, mm-hmm. but share with others. So that will be like the, like you said, 10 or 12 minute function of just sharing that little sermon I get.
Our service goes from 5 to 6, and we're out of there at 6. And we'll end up with lighting the candles from the one of the things I did several years ago before this church, even it was at Laurel Mountain Baptist, is I had Christmas Eve where we would have Christmas Eve communion, and I would just open the church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and families would come and go. We didn't have a formal service. Families would come with their families and sit down and have communion, just them in the church with Christmas music playing in the background. I didn't say anything other than to give the communion, and then they would leave when they felt they were done. It was a very special time, and it took some pressure off of me because I didn't have to prepare a whole lot other than the communion for it. And but it was more, it was really meaningful, I thought. I'm at a church now where they want more traditional service, so we do the traditional service.
I like that idea. I may use that next year. Instead of the whole Christmas Eve thing, is just say, hey, from this time to this time, we're going to be open. Come when you can. Share communion with your family. And
if other families come in, there's a lot of time to just slip out to the side where other families won't be disturbed, and you can have a little time to wish one another Merry Christmas. And
I'm definitely putting that on the agenda for next year. I like that idea. That is very, it takes, not to say that when we do a Christmas Eve service, we're performing, we're celebrating, but it takes it back to, it's not about what we're doing here, it's about you and your family coming to acknowledge Christ. I love that. Right. Most of the brilliant ideas I come up with, I usually get from you, so.
I don't see that. Because I got this from a pastor that did it years ago. That's the way he conducted every Christmas Eve, was that way, and I loved it. I mean, dim lights, low Christmas music playing, and just in and take communion and pray with the family and go on.
I love that. And all I have to do is just sit there and then
sit there and pray, and that's
and it. When they come in, just serve communion and then pray with them.
So
I love that. All right, well, can you pray for those families that are struggling or hurting this Christmas season, but also with those pastors who are struggling with trying to put on everything? And a lot of pastors will, and I've felt this before too, I did all this work and 3 people showed up, or only 13, or no one showed up. Or I was just talking about with our one of our band members that there was a year we did, I don't think it was Christmas Eve, but we did something else because everyone said, can you guys do? And we put it together and no one showed up except, my family and the praise team. So there's a lot of pressure on pastors. Yeah. So pray for pastors as well this Christmas season.
Yeah, and I'm fortunate in the fact that Christmas Eve is our most attended service. I won't have an empty seat on Christmas Eve. I've been there 3 years, and it's always blown me away that there's not been an empty seat on Christmas Eve. So, that's kind of interesting, but puts a little more pressure on me, but So, okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this season. We know that we tend to get busy and we tend to be rushed and we forget the reason that we're celebrating Christmas, or the reason we can even celebrate Christmas, and that is the birth of your Son. So we ask, Lord, that you help us to remember what you did for us in coming into this world, and that you didn't come in with trumpets blaring and didn't come in to the rulers and the rich, but you came into the poor and the humble. And you humbled yourself and came in as a baby to go through everything that we go through so that we can learn from you how to do life with you as a focus. And Lord, we just ask that you would just be with the pastors who are preparing Christmas Eve services, pastors who may be dealing with all kinds of different struggles this time of the year. Be with those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those who are lonely. Help them feel your presence, especially this year, in a way that they've never felt it before. And be with Floyd as he's recuperating from his fall. And Lord, we just thank you for it not being more serious than it was. And we just thank you that for his service to you. And we just thank you for all that you do. I thank you for touching me and to keep me going. And we just pray that we are shining your light bright. And as we go through this season of Christmas, that your light shines through over all of ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're the coolest.